Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Earth and Sky's Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Many people assume that the march of human evolution ended when man stood upright and put on a business suit. But according to anthropologist John Hawks, evolution hasn't slowed to a crawl, it sped up to a sprint. He's the author of a 2007 study, which says that evolution in the past 5,000 years has been occurring at a rate 100 times higher than any other time in human history. In this podcast, I talk with Hawks about the forces behind the speed-up. Plus, he gives a quick lesson in evolutionary theory and explains how genetics is actually a lot like playing cards in Vegas. So I wanted to talk to you about your study, which comes out today, where you're suggesting that evolution has sped up within the past 5,000 years. Can you just start off by providing some background on the basic assumptions that people have always had about human evolution?
Well, I think when you were reading about human evolution, 10 to 20 years ago, people really had the idea that it slowed down, or that, when people started to domesticate themselves and they started to master nature, that somehow the force of selection decreased on us, so it was easier to make a living.
Why have people always thought that? Like, what evidence is there for that theory?
There's the direct assumption. Mortality rates tended to go down over time. People have lately been able to live longer. And so you think of mortality as being a source of selection. It sort of looks like it might be decreasing over time. And it's certainly true that people used to die of a lot of things that they no longer die of. They used to die by fighting with wild animals and trying to kill them. And that's much less common now. And so people really did think that life is easier now.
Which is to say that we don't really have any kind of reason to evolve?
Exactly right, yeah. Why should we evolve when we've made things so easy for ourselves, went the story.
Can you just go back a little bit and explain, like, the basic theory of how evolution works, just so we kind of have a baseline of understanding?
Sure. Evolution occurs because of multiple forces. One of the forces is natural selection. Natural selection is sometimes called survival of the fittest, right? Natural selection means that genes that help to adapt you to your environment are selected, are good, tend to increase because they tend to have more kids. So that's the directional force of evolution. Then there are random forces. Genetic drift is random change. Mutations are random. Many are bad, many have no effect, a few are good. And there's migration. People move from place to place. What we're seeing in the last 20,000 years is a change in several of these forces. We have more mutations because there's more people. We have more selection because the environment has changed. And we have more movement.
You're saying that there's some kind of link between population and the way that we've evolved?
That's exactly right. What happens when populations grow is that there are more mutations. Not more mutations in any person. It's not like suddenly you start having mutant babies. It's that in the entire population, you have more variability. More new things are happening. And every one of those new things has some small chance of being good. So when the population grows as it has, you start to see more and more good things. And those good things start to pile up.
Like what sorts of good things?
When we're talking about the last 20,000 years or so, we're talking about a time when human populations changed to start planting crops, using agriculture. The population was becoming more dense. People are living in cities. They're starting to eat different kinds of foods. And they get new diseases. So the primary things, the biggest categories of things that change, are genes that relate to resistance to diseases, resistance to malaria, resistance to smallpox. They're genes that adapt us to our diet, being able to digest milk effectively, being able to digest grains more effectively. Now, those are the sorts of things that really start to change rapidly.
So what kind of technology are you working with here?
What we've got is a sample of people taken from different populations. It's called the International HapMap. And what they've done is that they've typed polymorphisms. Those are places in the genome where people have two different, potentially, copies of different things. They've typed 3.9 million of these polymorphisms in people from Europe, people from West Africa, and people from China and Japan. With that map, we can find parts of the genome using our computers that look like they haven't been shuffled up as much, that don't have as much recombination. And it's the suppression of recombination. It's these parts of the genome that have long stretches that aren't very shuffled that are a real sign of selection. And when you have one thing that's new, that's advantageous, what happens to that thing in a population is that it grows in numbers. It becomes more and more common. The faster this happens, it takes with it genes that are nearby, that are linked to it. And the more genes it takes, the more recent it must be, because as it's increasing, recombination is continually trying to shuffle it up. So this is like you're in a Vegas casino, and you know they have many, many decks of cards in one of these boots that they used to deal blackjack out of. It's like if one of these boots, the cards were in the same order every time, so that you could go and beat the casino every time because you knew what order they were going to be in. That's what's happening with these recently selected things. They're in the same order in everybody. They're not shuffled. And when we find them that way, when we find them not shuffled, we know that they must be young, because the shuffling should have happened if they weren't.
So how do these new mutations and new genes occur, and why?
It's absolutely random. It's very rare that a new mutation is actually good, that it actually helps you to survive, helps you to have more kids, makes you more fertile, you know, gives you some advantage. What's happening recently is that there are so many people that these incredibly rare things are happening an appreciable amount of the time. So you start to see, you know, basically in populations 100,000 years ago, you would very rarely see a new mutant that was good. You'd see one every 10 generations or something. In recent times, we're seeing hundreds of these every generation.
So this is pretty significant, because now we have about 6 billion people on the planet.
There's 6.5 billion people now. 10,000 years ago, there were 6 million people. We've grown 1,000 times. Earlier than that, in Neanderthal days, there were even fewer people. So this population growth has made many opportunities for new changes. Basically, it's allowed our population to respond faster to the pressures we're under. And of course, those pressures have changed.
That was anthropologist John Hawks at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.